Hello. Here we are again. I've been thinking lately of the many things in life that we take for granted. And I don't really mean that as a negative, though it can be. I just mean it as a fact of life. It's just the way things are. Sometimes it's the way things have to be. Take an electric light switch or the ignition to your car. We take those things for granted every day and never really question them, despite the fact that both of them are modern miracles. How else could you deal with it? Imagine being worried every time you reach for a light switch, or wondering every single time when you try to start your car if it's going to work. That's no way to live, and instinctively we know that. So we file those things away and act every day as if those things and myriad other things are just a fact of life, as real and natural as the rising of the sun. Of course, they're not. It's like food in the supermarket. Some people are so out of touch with the realities of life that they've actually been quoted as saying that we don't need farms anymore because everything we need is in the supermarket. And that's taking things for granted to an extreme. In truth, all of these blessings come from God. We wouldn't have any of it without His hand in the process. Anyone who's come here from another country knows full well that the U.S. population is the most spoiled on earth. And that's the problem with having so much. Rather than remembering God in the process and occasionally falling at His feet to thank Him for all this and so much more, we can easily, like a spoiled child, slip into a frame of mind that we deserve all this, that it's our birthright. But let those things be lost, and we learn rapidly that it's not a birthright, it's a blessing. No less than the people we love in our lives when they're suddenly taken away. Invariably, we then wish we hadn't taken them for granted. And so it goes. By the way, throughout this little talk, I don't mean to slap anyone in the face. I'm not trying to slam any of us. When I talk about taking things for granted, I'm really just talking about a human norm. In so many cases, we can't function in life without taking a great many things for granted and acting accordingly. But there's always a time when we need to look that reality square in the eye, to realize that herein there's a trap, and it's easy to fall into it. And it can be applied very easily to the things of God, to the knowledge He gives, His plan, His holy days, and to our calling in particular. A great many people in this room, and I include myself, have been around the truth of God and His church for a great many years. This upcoming feast will be my 37th. God started getting my attention when I was about 16. I'd found the church by the time I was 18. I was baptized when I was 19. So effectively, I've spent my entire adult life in God's church and with this knowledge. Add to that, that I was raised in a family that not only taught moral values, but managed to live them. People who set me a very good example. And that means I've been influenced all of my life by the values defined by God's word, directly or indirectly. In short, I take the things of God for granted because I've never really lived without them. And I can't imagine living without them. How about you? Many of you were, as we say, raised in the church. That's a misnomer, perhaps, but an understandable one. This is all you've ever known. And inevitably, you too take it for granted. Week in, week out, holy day season to holy day season, the same truth, the same routine, And we can all end up taking it for granted. But for those of us who were around back in the 90s, the mid-90s, we've seen what can happen. We saw at that time vivid proof that this knowledge, this understanding, can vanish overnight. That it isn't a birthright, but a vast, unbelievable gift from a being who not only calls himself God, but our eternal Father. And he doesn't take anything for granted. That's why he advises us to treat it all with care and with the deepest appreciation. So that, as Paul stated in Hebrews 2, verses 1 to 3, we don't end up neglecting this great salvation, which is the inevitable result of taking something for granted long enough that in the end you don't care about it much at all. It comes to mean practically nothing. It's just there, routine, until it becomes unimportant. But with the feast season now on us, think for a moment about how much it really does mean. This isn't just about us, but about the entire human family. When we celebrate the feast, we know that we're celebrating a future event that'll begin with Christ's return and with all true Christians finally inheriting the kingdom or family of God, a life beyond our limited comprehension now. We know it'll mean the end of mortality for us, the end of human nature and physical limitations, the beginning, if you will, of finally growing up, of discovering real life. We know that that event heralds the beginning of the end of human misrule, influenced by Satan, and the beginning of a safe, fair, just world, ruled by a God whose primary attribute is love at its ultimate. And eventually, we know it'll mean the chance for all the peoples of the earth, whoever they are or were, to come back to life, to have their time to come to know the true God, to reach their full potential, which this life denied them no matter how much they accomplished in this world, so they can join us in the family of God. It means something else for us, though. It means the day will come that we'll be able to bring back all the people that we have loved and lost, and that we'll be able to love them then with a perfect and a pure love that we can't imagine now, until they can join us with the Father and Jesus in inhabiting joy. There's no other way to express it. Everything I briefly mentioned is represented by the fall holy days, and we know that. But in the rush of our lives and the times around us, it's easy to give it a nod and then rush on by. And the feast is over before we know it. So I want to revisit a thought I touched on some years ago, revolving around a word we find often in the Psalms, the word Selah. The word was basically just a musical instruction calling for a pause in the action. But the overall translation has a greater principle to it. It means to stop, pause, and consider. As if saying something profound has just been handed to you, now pause in your activities and consider the import, why it's so important. And I'll say again this time around, we need that concept at the feast. And I'd like to encourage you, all of us really, to focus in on that principle during this feast. To make time here and there. To step aside from everything, all the rushing, all the activity. To take some few moments with our God. And to truly consider his purposes in our lives. to rehearse within ourselves the profound meaning of our calling and where it's leading us. To remember the destiny of the human race and what lies ahead for all who've ever lived. Whether it's in your room, a mountaintop, a seashore, wherever it means the most to you, just take some moments now and then to think about what God is doing with your life. What is your calling? How has it changed you over the years? Why is it so important? Where are you going, spiritually speaking? And the world, what of its future, its ultimate future? What great things does God have planned? Why will it be so much better than anything that we see in what the Bible terms this present evil world? Why should this be worth everything to us? Whether it's the weekly Sabbath or a holy day, the entire purpose of human life is wrapped up in their meaning. All the good hopes of a suffering humanity will be fulfilled beyond measure by a God who loves us all more than we can imagine. All this knowledge, this gift from God, can keep us centered in our daily lives and in the times ahead, if we always hold it out, as David did, as the apple of our eye, and never allow ourselves to lose sight of it, its depth and breadth and height. And only take it for granted in the most profound sense, to know that it's there waiting for us and will never be lost, that future is more certain than anything in creation, as is the love that God holds out to each one of us. We need to remember these things at the feast. We need to stop long enough to consider what we're really part of, where we're going, and why. And with these things in mind, we can look forward to a feast and a future of meaning and joy and fulfillment. And I wish you all exactly that.